Welcome to Through the Word. Melanie Hurlbut here, and so excited to open the book of Habakkuk with you. Now, unless you're a scholar, you probably know little about Habakkuk, though there are a few verses here that you'll likely recognize quite well. One in particular is quoted three times, three critical times in the New Testament. And that same verse is often credited with sparking one of mankind's greatest revolutions in religion and philosophy, some 2,000 years after it was written. Seriously, it's in your history book. Now, we'll get there soon enough, but first, we'll go back to Habakkuk's time. Habakkuk is introduced as a prophet, a man with a calling to deliver God's message to God's people. But we meet the prophet in a moment of crisis. And reading through his book is a bit shocking. It's sort of like, have you ever heard a song on the radio and the chorus is so catchy and upbeat? But when you finally listen to the lyrics, it's not at all what you thought. Like Born in the USA, it's not a patriot's anthem. It's a patriot struggling. Perhaps my country is not what I thought it was. Well, Habakkuk does have some catchy lines, but read closer. The prophet is struggling. Perhaps my God is not who I thought he was. Oh, Habakkuk still believes that the Lord is God. But as he looks at his world, he wonders. Listen to Habakkuk's cry in verse 2. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Habakkuk is hurting. Violence, and God doesn't save. Injustice, and God tolerates it? The prophet, God's messenger, needs to know who God is that he speaks for. Is he still the Lord of righteousness and justice? Have you ever asked God this question? I sure have, like when my daughter's car was stolen, not once, not twice, but three times in 6 months, from two different parts of the city she was living in. Now, there are some amazing churches in her area where God is on the move, but really? What good is a move of God if it only stays within the church walls? And as many of you know from experience, injustice gets much worse than auto theft. This world can be wicked. But where is the God of justice who turns people from their wicked ways, transforms behavior, and makes a city a safe place for people to live? With Habakkuk, we cry out, "Help, Lord! This evil is killing us!" How long must we cry to you? Are you listening? What are you going to do about it? Like Habakkuk, when evil things are happening to good people, we struggle to get a handle on how to live in the midst of injustice. It shakes our confidence. It's hard to get our bearings if we can't be certain that God hears our prayers, sees our need, or even cares to act on our behalf. If this sounds like the plot for a Hollywood movie, you're right. You might remember Bruce, that down-on-his-luck television reporter who complains to God that he's not doing his job correctly. So God decides to take a little vacation and gives Bruce Almighty the chance to try God's job for a week. You can imagine how well that goes. But Habakkuk isn't a comedy. It's a lament. The evil that Habakkuk and his people are facing isn't trivial. It's devastating violence, idolatry, and social injustice ruling in Judah. In Judah, among God's own people, because they refuse to listen to and obey God's law. Habakkuk doesn't want God's job. He wants the Lord God to do his job, to deal with evil and injustice in Judah, and to put the world right. So let's step back a moment and take a look at the book that's before us. The first two chapters of Habakkuk are structured around a dialogue with God, two poems of lament, each answered in startling ways by the Lord. And this Q&A with God encourages me. God is not afraid of Habakkuk's persistent questions and struggle to understand the Lord. In fact, it's going to be precisely through this struggle that Habakkuk finds his bearings and comes to a fresh understanding of who the Lord is. Too often as believers, we don't allow ourselves to struggle through the hard questions. We shortcut the process and skip to the answers at the back of the book. But grieving is a journey. And here in Habakkuk, the prophet is determined to walk this road with the Lord. So what is Habakkuk walking through? What's the story behind the story? That brings us to the second unique thing about this book. Habakkuk is writing in the midst of, or shortly after, a significant revival of the Lord. He's heard and seen God doing amazing things. But now it's not unfolding according to plan. Violence and wickedness are still prevailing in the land. So Habakkuk finds himself in the midst of a faith-shaking crisis. What is God going to do about it? You see, just about 100 years before, Assyria had conquered the idolatrous northern kingdom of Israel and scattered the people throughout its world empire. But in 701 BC, when the Assyrian army was camped on Jerusalem's doorstep, good King Hezekiah cried out to the Lord for deliverance, and God miraculously wiped out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, leaving Jerusalem and the temple standing. These Jews were left as a holy remnant of God's people, to bear witness to the Lord as the one true God. But 100 years later, how's that remnant of Judah doing? Not very well. Thanks to Hezekiah's wicked son, Manasseh, the nation fell head over heels into idolatry and wickedness, worse than the Canaanites, whom the Lord had driven out of the land. Amazing how much can change in one generation. Nevertheless, in his lifetime, Habakkuk witnessed another dramatic movement of God. 2 Kings 23 tells the story. Just like he promised, God brought good King Josiah to the throne, one last bright spark in the Davidic line. The faithful in Judah held their breath. Josiah cleansed the temple and rediscovered the book of the law. He trembled as he heard God's words of wrath that hung over Judah like a dark cloud because of the people's failure to keep God's word. But heroically, Josiah leads the nation in a revival greater than Hezekiah's, a revival that was unsurpassed since the days of King David. But would it be enough? Habakkuk knows the spiritual high of revival. He's seen repentance and restoration as hearts turn back to God. But when idolatry and injustice continue to thrive in Judah, Habakkuk senses an impending doom. Like the rise of Sauron's dark powers in Middle-earth, threatening to destroy the last strongholds of men, Habakkuk knows that unless Judah gets his house in order, it won't stand a chance. Habakkuk protests that God is holding out on them, not bringing the deep salvation that the nation so urgently needs. And so we hear his anguished cry from verse 2. How long, Lord? How long? Now, we know that Habakkuk is a prophet, but in chapter 3, when Habakkuk turns from his lament to prayer, the book changes tone dramatically and closes with a postscript that feels like it belongs in the Psalms. He gives directions for use to the choir master with stringed instruments in Habakkuk 3:19b. Some scholars think this may point to Habakkuk also having a role in the temple, which would put him close to Josiah's reforms of people, temple, and the nation. This means that Habakkuk feels firsthand all the anguish of the faithful remnant in Judah, who watched the majority of the people refuse Josiah's reforms, leaving them and the nation on a downward trajectory towards judgment. What hope is there for Israel unless God intervenes? God brought miraculous deliverance in Hezekiah's day. Why not now? Why not for us? Confused about the character and plans of God, Habakkuk unashamedly takes his complaint before the Lord. And this is one of the reasons why I love this prophet. The problem of evil and suffering in the world isn't an academic question. It's deeply personal. And Habakkuk gives us full view into that space, where everything he's believed in about his God and God's plans for his people seem to be falling apart before his eyes. Ouch! What do you do when the faith that you've clung to starts to fall apart? Where do you turn when you start to lose your bearings in the swirl of a world going wrong? What can you cling to? How can you hold on to faith when you find yourself in a desperate place. And that's the third thing that's unique about Habakkuk. Through this little book, Habakkuk gives all God's people permission to express their doubts, to wrestle with God, to admit that God and his world seem to be going terribly wrong. This isn't the way that life with God is supposed to work out. And so, Habakkuk invites us to join him on his journey with God, to struggle right alongside him to get a handle on who Israel's God is and what he's doing in the midst of crisis, tragedy, and downright evil. Are you ready? Prepare your heart and join me next time for chapter 1, as Habakkuk brings his complaint to God Almighty and awaits his answer.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.